whining and complaining. I don't normally do that, but it's just been different situations. Sometimes there's physical problems that I've had, and, you know, I'm like, oh, man, I can't believe this is happening to me. And, of course, when you have physical problems, if you're like me, when you don't feel well, then you don't think straight. You have, you know, and I've really been struggling. Well, we got to Philippians chapter 2, and the Holy Spirit particularly stopped me on one passage. If you have your Bible open, Philippians chapter 2, we're talking about the service of Paul and Paul's service to not just the Philippian church, but to the churches in general. Paul talks about his service, and if you think about the Apostle Paul, if anybody ever had a right, nobody does, by the way, but if anybody ever had the right to complain or grumble or whine about his treatment, it'd have to be the Apostle Paul. You don't read very much negative, if any negative, about the Apostle Paul after his conversion in anywhere in the New Testament, but you do read a lot about his struggles and his trials. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and there's a long list of all the trials, all the things that Paul went through, and yet he never complains. He always looked at those things, even the sufferings, as gain for him and gain for the cross. And I look at him sometimes and I wonder, man, how did he do that? We talk about the book of Philippians and all the issues of joy in the book of Philippians, and most of you already know he wrote the book of Philippians when he was in jail. He was in prison for doing the right thing and doing the godly thing, and from prison he writes this epistle. And so it's appropriate, I think, in a sense, that he makes these verses, at least the verses that stand out to me, verses 14 and 15 of chapter 2, say this: Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. One of the issues in that passage is this concept of murmuring. Now, you'll notice when you're looking at your notes there I gave out, I always like to give out notes so you can follow along, because sometimes I go too fast. The Bible says a lot about murmuring. I'm not going to go through every passage. I think I've listed some there in the top of your lesson. You can see them written there. Paul talks about murmuring in Philippians chapter 2. Jude talks about it in the 16th verse there. He talks about this group of people who are murmurers, complainers, people who walk after their own lust. He calls them ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the Lord Jesus Christ, and it goes on and on. But in that description of that wicked generation to come, which, by the way, I believe we live in, he mentions that concept of those who are murmurers again. Acts chapter 6, you remember just a few weeks ago, Pastor was in Acts chapter 6, and he was talking about what happened in the church in Acts chapter 6, where there were a lot of people complaining that their needs weren't being met. That's where we established the deacon, the office of deacon. He said, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring among the Grecians. Okay, and so you'll see a lot of places in the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, where that phrase is mentioned. So let me give you a little quick definition, okay? Everybody still with me so far? Your notes, no blanks yet, right? I know everybody likes to get all their blanks filled in. So what is murmuring? Now, there's two different ways I'm going to define this. Number one, that first little blank there, just put the word sound, S-O-U-N-D. Murmuring sometimes is just a sound. In fact, the definition is a slow, low, indistinct sound produced by a person or a group of people speaking quietly or at a distance. And you've all heard that before. When I know a little Spanish, and I've taken some missions trips to different Spanish-speaking countries, and when I'm a Spanish-speaking country, I hear people talking in another language, but I can kind of pick out words and phrases and try to figure out, I can kind of stay up with them. Well, several years ago, I got an opportunity to go to Vietnam, and I know no Vietnamese at all. I have no Oriental language skills at all. And to me, everything in Vietnam, everywhere I went, it was just a murmur. Have you ever done this? I was in Vietnam, and somebody would speak to me in Vietnamese, and I would say, well, they don't speak English, so I would try to speak to them in Spanish. By the way, that doesn't work. You know, I figured, well, they're using a different language, so I'll use a different language, and that just doesn't work. So, but everything I heard, you know, just became this rumbling sound. It's just the noise in my ears. In fact, the Greek, I guess the Hebrew word, has that connotation to it. In the Hebrew, it can mean the cooing of doves. You ever heard that sound a dove makes? I would make it for you, but I'm not a bird call expert. That just little rumbling sound. That's not what I'm talking about tonight, the sound. The next word I want you to write down is this. When we talk about murmuring in the Scripture, we're not talking about the sound of murmuring. We're talking about the substance, okay? What murmuring really is, okay? So here's a good definition. This is a dictionary definition. It's a subdued or privately expressed opinion of discontent or dissatisfaction. Sometimes it's a subtle insinuation. In fact, that goes along. If you look it up in Hebrew, it says it means to grumble, complain, to confer secretly together. In Greek, if you look up in the New Testament, it's a secret displeasure that's not openly expressed. That's a good definition. A secret displeasure that's not openly expressed. It doesn't mean it's not expressed. It just means it's somewhere over on the side murmured about. You getting the definition of the word? Look at the rest of the definition. It says a semi-articulated muttering or of disaffected persons. To grumble, to complain, to utter complaints in a low, half-articulated voice. Now, I think with that definition, all of you should have some idea what I'm talking about. Murmuring, it's not actually gossip, because gossip can be loud and boisterous. It's not actually complaining and whining. It's when somebody kind of mumbles the murmur and they, you know, privately over to the side, they've got a group of people and they're dissatisfied about something, and so they don't make it open in public. But, you know, I just don't believe they're going to do that. This is the silliest thing I ever saw. This is crazy. I can't believe this is happening kind of thing. You know, and it's just between us. I'm not trying to affect everybody. It's just between me and the party I'm talking about. When you read the word murmuring in the Scriptures, whether you read it in the Old Testament, whether you read it in the New Testament, that is actually the definition. That is the best definition I can give you for it. That soft, low, indistinct sound, a subdued or private expressed opinion of discontent or dissatisfaction. It's a private thing. The problem with it is, anybody know what's happened if enough murmuring happens? It no longer is private anymore. What happens? It becomes public. We'll talk about the effects of that. So let me just fill in a couple of blanks, because all I'm giving you right now is an introduction to the message. So just hang on a second. We'll get to the message. So what is it? Why do people do that? Well, let me give you four quick reasons. You're going to have to write fast. Number one, people do it who are discontented. Sometimes, and typically that discontentment has to do with discontentment with leadership. Everybody in here, if you're thinking scripturally, everybody's in here, your mind should immediately go to two places. Number one, the Exodus, right? Discontented with Moses' leadership. They really were discontented with what God was doing, but Moses was the one that they murmured about, right? So discontented with leadership. The second place you would go, if you go to the New Testament, who did the most murmuring in the New Testament? You know who it was? It's a group called the Pharisees. They always stood to the side and talked about what Jesus did. Remember, there's several times where the Scripture said, but Jesus knew their heart. He knew what they was. They could murmur over in the corner all they wanted. He knew exactly what they were saying. And so that's the concept of what we're saying. Some people are discontented with leadership. By the way, you know why people are discontented with leadership? It's all a pride issue. They think that they could do better. If I was in charge, here's what I would do. Most of the time I've heard somebody say that phrase, if I was in charge, they're never going to be in charge. They don't really want to be in charge because they don't want people to grumble, complain, and they don't want the responsibility themselves. So sometimes it's discontentment with leadership. Number two, sometimes it's dissatisfied. They murmur because they're dissatisfied with their circumstances. The first one, they think they know better, and this one, they think they deserve better, right? You either deserve better treatment, you either deserve something better, you deserve better pay, you deserve better accommodations, whatever. But you're dissatisfied with what you have, and so you begin to murmur, okay? So sometimes it's discontentment, sometimes it's dissatisfaction. Then number three, the third reason, is discouragement. Discouragement. Some people are discouraged with hardships, the hardships they have to go through. Life is a struggle. You have to figure that out, right? They think that life should be easier. I don't know if you ever did this. When my kids were growing up, I constantly referred them back to the Old Testament, referred them back to the curse. And one of the curses was, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. In other words, let me give you a literal translation. Life's hard. Life is going to be difficult. We brought that on ourselves, amen? And I was talking to Pastor Ogden and Pastor Wall today, and they were asking me a couple things. They were doing it in a nice way, so don't think this is bad. But they were asking me a couple things about being older, and what about this, and what about this. And I said, let me explain something to you guys. As you get older, life's going to get harder. And you're going to have a lot more problems and a lot more physical difficulties than you've ever had before. And you're going to have to face those. And I said, Stephen, you understand what I'm saying? And he goes, well, I'm not sure about that. And I said, I can tell you right now, Stephen, you're going to suffer a lot. Your health is going to decline as you get older. He goes, you know that for a fact. I said, I know it for a fact because you're a wicked sinner just like me. And the result of your sin is the degeneration of your body. Amen? Life is hard enough without that. But even making a living, a lot of people think, everything should go well. We should never have any problems. If I have any problems, there must be something wrong. No, sometimes everything can be right and you're still going to have problems and trials and difficulties. That's just the way it is. But sometimes some people will complain or murmur because of discontentment, dissatisfaction, discouragement, or number four, disappointment. Sometimes it's just disappointment. And a lot of times it's disappointment with what I would call timing. In other words, things didn't happen when I think they should happen. How come we haven't done this yet? How come I haven't gotten to that place in my life yet? How come I don't have that yet? Okay? And I know there's probably other reasons, but if you think about it, when you think about murmuring, you think about this concept of complaining, whining, whether privately or publicly, those are pretty much the same, the main reasons. Whether it's discontentment, dissatisfaction, discouragement, or disappointment, that's usually what is the motivation behind them all. Now, I could go off on a side trail here. I'm not going to do this tonight, but I could really go off on a side trail and tell you that the root of all of those things is one thing. Right? Pride. I deserve better. I should have better. I should be treated better. I shouldn't have to wait too long. I. If you have a pride problem, you probably have one of these other problems, discontentment, dissatisfaction, discouragement, or disappointment, and you're probably, whether you like to admit it or not, you are probably have also a problem with murmuring, grumbling, and complaining. Yes or no? You with me? Okay. Some of you are like, I'm not even going to admit that. By the way, I've also noticed this. A lot of murmuring among Christians concerns petty things, personal opinions that have nothing to do with what the Scripture says. I think murmurers, professional murmurers, people who murmur all the time, are really unhappy people. I'm going to probably break a HIPAA law here. Some of you know about the HIPAA laws when it comes to health care. I'm going to probably break a HIPAA law here, but my wife has a little bit of a heart murmur, okay? Now, I don't know if you know anything about heart murmurs. I had to write this down, so I got it right. A heart murmur is not a heart disease. It's an indication of a heart problem. Let me say that again. Some of you are going to know why I titled this message, Heart Murmurs. A heart murmur is not the disease itself. It's just an indication that there might be a problem. Doesn't mean you have a problem. It's an indication there's probably a problem somewhere. It may be a congenital heart problem, a calcification in the veins. It may be rheumatism. It could be a lot of things, but it's usually an indication. So let me say it this way. Like the physical heart murmur, spiritual heart murmurs are dangerous for us. The act of murmuring is the real problem. The act of murmuring is not the problem. The problem is where? Well, same place it would be physically, right? If you have a heart murmur, there's a physical problem. And if you are a murmurer, there's a spiritual problem behind this. Okay? When you read through the Scriptures, that's the next blank there if you're filling that blank. Murmuring is a heart problem. I want you to understand that. By the way, the warning you read in Philippians is actually the second time Paul had to talk about that. Now, you had your Bible open to 1 Corinthians, right? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me read a couple other passages to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to start there in verse 5. Now, if you know anything about the history of the Scriptures, you know a little bit about the church of Corinth. I would say, from what I can gather, the Corinthian church was the most worldly church, that the most carnal Christians and the most worldly church that you'll read about in the New Testament. And they had a lot of spiritual problems. So you would think, well, murmuring couldn't be that bad But that's another problem that Paul addressed with that church. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, start in verse 5. Paul said this, but he's talking about the Old Testament Israelites. He's talking about what we're going to read in the book of Exodus, or what we're going to read actually in the book of Deuteronomy. He says this, but with many of them, many of those Israelites during the Exodus, many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written. These are, by the way, not only problems that the Israelites had, these are problems that were in the Corinthian church. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to pray. So you have those who lusted after evil things. You have those who were idolaters. Verse number 8, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3,000. So then you have those who not only were idolaters, but those who committed adultery, those who committed fornication. And verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. In other words, they didn't believe God. They didn't listen to God. And so they were destroyed for that. And then one last example he throws in with this list. By the way, would you say so far that the sins he's talking about in the nation of Israel during the Exodus were extremely serious sins? Yes or no? You know, you can sit there silent if you want to, but I'll keep asking until one of you says something. Would you say that these were extremely serious sins? Thank you. Okay. All right. So now, does it surprise you that verse 10 is now attached to these verses? Verse 10, he says this, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. So along with adultery, along with idolatry, we throw in murmuring. You say, why are you telling us that? Because I want you to understand, this is a pretty serious sin. This isn't something, I know sometimes in church settings we overlook little things. We think little sins aren't that bad. But I have noted this in 40 years or so in the ministry. All little things, if you put a bunch of them together, or you leave them alone long enough, they all become big things. And one of the things that will destroy the unity at Faith Baptist Church and the ministry at Faith Baptist Church is complaining, grumbling, murmurers who stand off in the corner and criticize every little thing. Now, I will make this confession to you. There are things to criticize about Faith Baptist Church. We do not do everything perfectly right and in order. Sometimes we do the wrong thing. Do you know why that is? Because our pastors and our staff, our deacons, they're all human. And they are capable, quite capable, of making mistakes. Amen? Now, I don't have a problem with you coming to me and correcting me and saying you made a mistake, but don't stand off in the corner and grumble and mumble about it. You got something to say, come say it, let's take care of it, and let's work it out. That's exactly what's supposed to happen. That mumbling, that grumbling, that murmuring in the back, that continual going on, you want to destroy the unity of a church, that'll do it very, very quick. Now, if you're going to talk about what's happening, I want you to go to the book of Deuteronomy, because probably one of the best explanations of the danger of murmuring is in this book. Now we're getting to the message. That was the introduction, okay? I just wanted to get you to the spot where you're with me, okay? So when you get to Deuteronomy chapter 1, it is Moses looking back at what happened during the Exodus, okay? It's pretty obvious that's what's going on, and you'll see it. In fact, I want you to start there in verse 22. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 22. Let me read a few passages to you. Verse 21 says, "Behold, the Lord God has set the land before thee. Go and possess it, and as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged." Verse 22, "And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and to what cities we shall come." You know your Bible history, you know he's talking about the spies, right, that went into Canaan and to bring back 10 were good and 2 were bad. You remember the story, the little song you sang? They sent the 12 spies in. 10 came back with an evil report. 2 came back with a good report. That's what we're talking about in this passage. Verse 23, "And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain and came to the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God." And what does verse 27 talk about? What happened? They murmured. They murmured. Then, but you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord God hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us in the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. So you get this concept in the Old Testament. Now, I want to point out, I want to take a little bit of time tonight to point out five different things that murmuring does. Because I want you to see the danger in this. I don't want you to think of this as something minor. This is something actually major that can cause tremendous problems. Number one, you're with me still? The danger of murmuring? Okay, number one, murmuring is rebellion against God and or his designated leaders. Murmuring is rebellion against God and his designated leaders. In verse 26, Moses said, notwithstanding, you would not go up, but what? You rebelled against God's commandment of the Lord. All murmuring, in a sense, is rebellion. In fact, go to verse 32. We're going to read this whole passage in a minute. Go to verse 32. Look what it says. Yet in this thing, going up into the land of Canaan, in this thing, what happened? You did not believe the Lord your God. So when you talk about this definition of a subdued or privately expressed opinion of discontentment or dissatisfaction, that's exactly what happened. Now, I want you to think about this rebellion. You'll see this all through the book of Exodus. We won't take time to go back. But remember, the rebellion started when Moses first came and they said, who is Moses that he should lead us up? Who are you? You know, and then Moses had to convince them that he was the right guy. When they left Egypt, they got, you know, to the Red Sea, and they stopped at the Red Sea, and here comes the Egyptians attacking them. And what did they say? You brought us all out here in the wilderness to die. Okay? They cross the Red Sea. They move into the wilderness, and now they say, we're all going to die of thirst, right? Remember the story? And God brought forth water from the rock. And then later on, they say, you brought us out of this wilderness. We're all going to die of hunger. And so God gave them manna from heaven. And then they said, you know, God gave us manna from heaven, and we eat this manna every day, and we have to eat the same thing. And they began to murmur about that. And so God sent them quails from heaven, right? And over and over and over, these things happen. I can't believe we eat the same thing over and over. I can't believe this is the promised land where giants dwell. They get to the promised land. They don't want to go in the promised land because there are giants there. We'll have to have a fight. Is this really God's plan? And the murmuring, 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 murmuring. Now, you know the history, right? Now, let me ask you a question. Was Moses the designated leader that God sent? Yes or no? Yes. Did they die by the Red Sea? No. Did they die of thirst? No. Did they die of hunger? Were things better for them in Egypt? No. So let me ask you, I came across this the other day when I was studying, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. So what did they die of? Who said that? You're right, David. They died of murmuring. All those who complained and refused to go and rebelled against God died in the wilderness just like they said they would. But they didn't thirst to death. They didn't starve to death. The Egyptians did not murder them. What happened? They were destroyed of the destroyer. What was the destroyer? Pharaoh? Was he the destroyer? Hunger? Was that the destroyer? No. They're all murmuring and complaining. Their disbelief that God was in this and God knew what he was doing, and their own complaining, their own griping, their own whining is what condemned them. I thought about that the other day, and I said, boy, if you talk about the importance of this issue, I don't know how you can say it anymore. In fact, look at verse 34 again. We read verse 32. Go to verse 33. Who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch tents in fire by night to show you by what way you should go in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and swear saying, listen to me. You can't tell me that's not why this happened. This is exactly because of the murmuring. God heard the murmuring. God heard the complaining over and over and over, and what was the result? Well, verse 35 tells you. Surely, God said this, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see the good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. And you know, as well as I know, every one of them died in the wilderness just like they complained they were going to do, but not by the way they thought they were going to do. Murmuring hurts nobody worse than you. If you don't think it's a big deal, go back and read that story again, and you tell me then it's not a big deal. Okay? Here's number two. Let me go to number two. In verse 26, again, let me give you the blank here. Murmuring is often not recognized by those who are murmuring. So I mentioned earlier, I said, some of you remember, I said, you know, I've had a problem with this in my own life in the last year or so. You say, well, did the Holy Spirit reveal that to you? Kind of. My wife said something. Because, see, here's what I do as a pastor. I don't grumble and complain to you. I don't grumble and complain to other church members. I don't even really grumble and complain to the staff. But somewhere in my heart is there, and so guess what I do? Okay, David, you got too many good answers. Stop it. Okay, but yeah, I'll go home, and I'll say, you won't believe what Pastor Ogden did today. He walked in, that's why I said that. Or you won't believe, you know, in the new church, you know what we're doing now? You know what we changed now? You know how much that cost? No. I wouldn't say that to you, but I started infecting my own wife where she's like, well, I don't know if we're doing the right thing. And she started repeating some of the things I was saying back to me. And now I'm afraid she was going to. And I was like, oh, boy, Morris, you need to watch your mouth. And I found this to be true. Murmuring is often not recognized by those who are murmuring. In fact, look at the personal pronouns in these verses. In verse 26, somebody had to point this out to them. You would not go up. You rebelled. Ye, if you want to use the Bible word. You murmured. Verse 27. You did not believe God, and the Lord God, and the Lord heard the voice of your words. Sometimes it takes somebody else, through the direction of the Holy Spirit in this case, and probably in my case too, to say, hey, what are you doing? Why are you complaining and griping and mumbling? Are you offering solutions, or are you just murmuring in the corner? And somewhere along the line, the children of Israel had to be explained that. People murmur, by the way, in church about everything. They murmur about the temperature of the building. They murmur about the style of the music. You've never noticed that, probably. They murmur about the preacher's message. They murmur about the type of Bible study classes, the times of service, the way the money is spent, the color of the carpet. By the way, when we moved to that new building, we were over there today looking at some different things, and I was kind of taking a second tour of the building with Pastor Ogden, Pastor Wall, kind of pointing out things to me. And when we, I can tell you something, when we moved to that new building, if you want something to murmur about, I guarantee you we'll give it to you. Because everybody in this room is not going to like everything we've done or are doing or going to do. You're not going to like the cost of it. You're not going to like the way it's set up. You're not going to like the purple. We're not having purple. No purple carpet. There's things you're not going to like. And you're going to be tempted, just like they were tempted to do this, to complain and grumble and murmur. Can I ask you a question? Honestly, what difference does it really make in the long run what color the carpet is? I mean, in light of eternity, does it really matter whether the pews are padded in the back and the bottom? Does it really matter if the auditorium is 5 degrees too cold for you? By the way, if we make it 5 degrees warmer, it'll be 5 degrees too warm for somebody else. That argument never works. There's no way we can make an auditorium comfortable for 500 people. It is never, ever going to happen. So just let that go, okay? You understand what I'm saying? A lot of times people don't even realize they're doing it. And I'd venture to say, at times we all do it. But it's not something we can continue to do and continue to have unity in the church. Here's number three. Let me give you number three. Verse 27, he said this. Moses said, and you murmur. I circled this in my Bible. And you murmur where? You see it, verse 27? In your tents. Murmuring is usually practiced privately or secretly before it becomes public. And by the way, it almost always becomes public. The Israelites murmured in their tents or privately. Now, by that, I take it this. It was not a loud public rebellion. That came later, right? It started with the murmuring. Just like with Jesus, they murmured, they complained, they disagreed until eventually they crucified him. You get the idea? So murmuring, it always starts that way. It's a quiet disagreement, usually discussed in small groups, likely starting in one family, spreading to the next, or one group spreading to the next, okay? When people murmur, they often do it under their breath or in a private setting among people that they agree with. And you ever got trapped? You ever got trapped into this? Somebody said something negative, and you agreed with it, And then this has happened to me before. Somebody says something negative, maybe out in the foyer, I'm talking to somebody, and they said, I think the auditorium is freezing. And I'll say on that since I picked that out, I say, well, you know, it is cold in there. You know what they do next? They talk to somebody else. Even Brother Morris believes it's cold in there. Well, he does. And it begins to grow. They enlist a few other people. Jay, do you think it's cold? It's cold in there a lot of times, isn't it, Jay? Even Jay thinks it's cold in here. And I guarantee you, I know, it didn't take me long to figure out who thinks it's cold. It's the ladies over here with the blankets on. So who am I going to murmur to next? They're going to agree with me. And pretty soon, they're going to turn the air conditioner up, and the people over here with the shorts on are going to go, yeah, pick it on you, Sam. The people over here with the shorts on are going to go, well, I'm dying in here, it's so hot. And they're going to complain. And Sam's going to go to Brother Ogden and say, Brother Ogden, don't you think it's too hot in this auditorium?
Always.
Always too hot in the auditorium. In fact, if you're up here, you rarely ever say anything about it being cold in the auditorium because it's warmer up here than it is down there. And so, and then you, all of a sudden, now you've got, instead of one or two people, you've got two factions in the church that are battling because somebody started murmuring and complaining. And it's really no big deal. But we'll make it a big deal. By the way, I've also noticed this. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know anybody who appreciates a murmur. In fact, when somebody complains and gripes a lot, you probably look at them and say, boy, I don't want to be around them. And then you turn around and do it. Can I ask you a question? What do you think they think about you when you're doing it? I'll just move on from that. I'm about to get ahead of myself here. One last thing. Let me go to the last two things because I'm almost out of time. Number four, verse 28. He said this in the text. This is what the people said. They wanted to go up, and the people said, whither shall we go up? I want you to notice this. What happened? What did this murmuring cause? Pick it out for yourself. What did it cause? Verse 28. They didn't go up. In fact, they didn't want to go up. Why? Verse 28 says this, our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are greater and walled in the heaven. And moreover, we have sinned the sons of the Anakims there. And then I said to you, dread not, neither be afraid. But they didn't. They still wouldn't go up. Why? Because the grumbling, the complaining made them their hearts fearful. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 30 says this, Caleb said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we'll ever overcome it. The mumbling spies said this, we are not able to overcome the people, for they are stronger than we. They gave, the Bible says, an evil report of the land. And that evil report made the people rebel against God. Well, people who were already in that rebellion just encouraged them to continue rebelling against God. And all of those people died in the wilderness. Murmuring discourages others. It really does. In fact, let me say this. Murmuring causes more discouragement around brethren, and nothing is more discouraging for a pastor than to hear his people complain. That's hard. Pastor Monty, staff hears a lot. Pastor Monty hears it more. Because I know there's times he's talked to us and he's like, I just don't want to hear about this anymore. Especially when it's not really something that vital. Nothing's wrong with saying, I see a problem, can we fix it? That's not what we're talking about, is it? The problem is when you sit over in the corner and start telling everybody else about the problem, and I can't believe they do this, but you never do anything to address it, you never do anything to help it, you never do anything to encourage us to do better at it, you just murmur. That's where the problem, and that's what brings about discouragements. In fact, I want to go back to 1 Corinthians, but I don't have time, so let me go to number five. Number five, murmuring doubts and misunderstands God's purpose. I like what it says. I noted what it said in verse 27 of this text. It says, you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. By the way, is anything in that verse true?
No.
Did God hate his people?
No.
Well, in fact, what really happened? What really happened is they were enslaved in Egypt. God heard their cry, had mercy on them, sent Moses to deliver them. And by the way, it wasn't a little tiny bit of a miracle that he delivered them. the plagues and all that they went through, the time that they went through. I mean, this is a major league deal. And not only did they leave Egypt, but they spoiled Egypt when they left. They took everything with them. They have nothing to complain about. God did not hate them. They said, God hated us, and he brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us unto the Amorites. Is that what God did?
No.
Is there a nation of Israel still today? Yes. Is it in the same place? Yes. God knew exactly what he was doing. Was God's plan to destroy them? No. None of that was true. They misunderstood. They completely doubted God's plan. He actually loved them, and he heard their crying. He delivered them from the Egyptian bondage, and he gave them the promised land. I don't have time to go into this, but if you go into the book of Hebrews and it talks about the promised land is not an indication. We get this confused. Going into Canaan is not an indication of salvation. Going into crossing the Red Sea, crossing the Jordan is an indication of salvation. Going into Canaan is an indication of mature spiritual life. You know why some of you don't grow spiritually? You're afraid to go into Canaan. You're afraid of the sacrifice it would take. You're afraid to defy. You know, spiritual warfare is a real thing. You should not be surprised that you're doing the right. People always come to me for counsel and say, I'm trying to live right, and I'm trying to teach my kids right, and I'm praying every day, and I'm reading my Bible, and things are still happening tough. Well, the world, the flesh, and the devil are still there. You should expect a battle every day. In fact, I believe this, the more you do those things, the harder the battle's going to be. Because the world, if you fight the devil, if you stand with the devil and say, I'm in fight, I will stand for God, he's not going to leave you alone. You're one of the people he's going to attack. You should expect difficulty. You should expect trial. Yes, there's giants in the land. But boy, isn't it a blessed land? Isn't it full of milk and honey? There's people in this auditorium that have grown spiritually over the years after they've gotten saved. And no matter what the trial, no matter what the problem, they've seen God work and they trust him. When you boil it all down, here's the deal. You need to do, I know you know this, you need to trust God, trust his word, and trust his timing. Amen? Trust God, trust his word, trust his timing. If you do that, I guarantee you won't be struggling with the sin of murmuring. We need to heed Paul's warning to do all things without murmuring and disputing, that we be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. And you can't argue with this. In the midst of a crooked generation and a perverse nation, among whom you should shine as lights of the world. If you're murmuring, if you're complaining, if you're a whiner, you're a griper, you're not shining as a light in a dark world. And this dark world that we live in needs some more lights. Amen? Dear Father, Lord, I pray that you'll help us as Christians to watch our tongue, to watch what we say, how we complain, how we gripe, or probably of all nations in the world, we are the most blessed. We have the most, and we should be thankful for the most. I pray, Lord, you'll help us to be a thankful people, a grateful people, for your mercy, for your grace, for your work in our lives. Help us, Lord, to trust you, to trust your word, to trust your timing. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Ogden.